हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 7, Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. Purport in verse 66. According to Mayavadi sannyasis, only one who takes sannyas in the disciplic succession from Shankaracharya is a Vedic sannyasi. Sometimes it is challenged that the sannyasis who are preaching the Krishna consciousness movement are not genuine because they do not belong to Brahmana families. For Mayavadis do not offer sannyas to one who does not belong to a Brahmin family by birth. However, even if one is born in a non-Brahmin family, if he has the brahminical qualifications, he should be accepted as a Brahmana, as confirmed by Srila Narad Muni and the great saint Sridhar Swami. This is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Both Narada and Sridhar Swami completely agree that one cannot be a Brahmin by birthright, but must possess the qualities of a Brahmana. Thus, in our Krishna conscious movement, we never offer the sannyas order to a person whom we do not find to be qualified in terms of the prescribed brahminical principles. Although it is a fact that unless one is a brahmana, he cannot become a sannyasi. It is not a valid principle that an unqualified man who is born in a brahmana family is a brahmana, whereas a brahminically qualified person born in a non-brahmana family cannot be accepted. The Krishna conscious movement strictly follows the injunctions of Srimad Bhagavatam, avoiding misleading heresy and manufactured conclusions. Right? So they've just come up with this themselves. These will be just things that, it's just a matter of prestige and position. Because the main problems they're taking it is that because you're born in the Brahmin family, that's what makes you a Brahmin. Right? So they're going by the principles of Brahmins and they're the ones taking sannyas. So that's fine. But the problem comes up is that they're taking it that because you're born in a Brahmin family, that automatically makes you a Brahmin. Right? But it has to be as if you have the qualifications. Otherwise, why in Sanskrit is the term Dvija Bandhu? It wouldn't be there if by being born in a Brahmin family you were automatically a Brahmin. It's there because if you get trained, then you become. And if somehow or another you don't, then you're not. With that. So that's the principle. So then whoever has the qualification, then they're in that position. So that's why it says that it's heresy, and it's misleading. And it's just they've made it up. It's manufactured. It's not the Vedic conclusion. Prakashananda Saraswati continued, "You are a sannyasi. Why then do you indulge in chanting and dancing, engaging in your Sankirtan movement in the company of fanatics?" Srila Prabhupada. This is the challenge by Prakashananda Saraswati to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhashya that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the object of Vedanta philosophical research, has very kindly determined who is an appropriate candidate for study of Vedanta philosophy. The first qualification of such a candidate is expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastakam. This statement indicates that one can hear or speak about Vedanta philosophy through the disciplic succession. One must be very humble and meek, more tolerant than tree and more humble than the grass. One should not claim respect for himself, but should be prepared to give all respect to others. One must have these qualifications to be eligible to understand Vedic knowledge. Right? So that's the qualification, right? Because that's the actual purpose. Knowledge means you're humble. So if you have that, then you actually are qualified to understand Vedic knowledge. Because Vedic knowledge is about developing your love for Krishna. And you're only going to know Krishna if you have devotion. You're only going to have devotion if you then lack pride. That makes sense? But if you're proud, based on your external birth, right? They're talking about that they're supposed to become free from and liberated from the material condition. At the same time as they're going on the position that unless you're born in a Brahmin family. Right? So that's the difficulties, they become confused. So the actual qualification is if that you have that connection to Krishna consciousness with this proper attitude, then you'll be able to understand what is Vedic knowledge. Otherwise, they study the Vedanta and don't actually understand the conclusions. Prakrishnanda Saraswati continued, meditation and the study of Vedanta are the sole duties of a sannyasi. Why do you abandon these to dance with fanatics? Again, fanatics. What's with the fanatics? Srila Prabhupada, as explained in regard to verse 41, Mayavadi sannyasis do not approve of chanting and dancing. Prakashananda Saraswati, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, misunderstood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a misled young sannyasi. And therefore he asked him why he indulged in the association of fanatics instead of executing the duty of a sannyasi. Prakashananda Saraswati continued, you look as brilliant as if you were Narayana himself. Will you kindly explain the reason that you have adopted the behavior of lower class people? Srila Prabhupada, due to renunciation, Vedanta study, meditation, and the strict regulative principles of their daily routine, Mayavadi sannyasis are certainly in a position to execute pious activities. Thus, Prakashananda Saraswati, on account of his piety, could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not an ordinary person, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shakshat Narayana. He considered him to be Narayan himself. Mayavadi sannyasis address one another as Narayana because they think they are all going to be Narayana or merge with Narayana in the next life. Prakashananda, just like we see, you know, here, you know, Jayitai or Vrindavan Jai Radhe, when the Mayavadi sannyasis meet each other, it's Narayan, Narayan, yeah, like that. So.
They told me the same
ones. Huh?
They told me the same ones. They dressed me like this one in the train.
They greeted you as Narayan. Prakrishnanda Saraswati appreciated that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already directly become Narayan, did not need to wait until his next life. One difference between the Vaishnava and Mayavadi philosophies is that Mayavadi philosophers think that after giving up their bodies, they are going to become Narayan by merging with his body. Whereas Vaishnava philosophers understand that after the body dies, they are going to have a transcendental spiritual body in which to associate with Narayan. Right? So that association is better. This whole idea that they'll merge into the body of the Lord and that will be happiness, it's very much overrated. It's the position of being having a transcendental form and then serving the Lord, that's actually what's going to give the actual happiness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to Prakrishnanda Saraswati, my dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. Quote, you are a fool, he said. You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy, and therefore you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras or Vedic hymns. Right? Yeah, because even in Manu it's mentioning that japa is by doing that, then you get the benefit of all the other Vedic rituals and all that are there in the Varnashram system. So then of that chanting, then if you're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, that'll be the best of that. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj comments in this connection, quote, one can become perfectly successful in the mission of his life if he acts exactly according to the words he hears from the mouth of his spiritual master, end quote. This acceptance of the words of the spiritual master is called Shrauta Vakya, which indicates that the disciple must carry out the spiritual master's instructions without deviation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that a disciple must accept the words of his spiritual master as his life and soul. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here confirms this by saying that since his spiritual master ordered him only to chant the holy name of Krishna, he always chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to this direction. Krishna Mantra Japa Sada A Mantra Shar. A real Vaishnava should, however, study Vedanta philosophy. But if after studying Vedanta, one does not adopt the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, he is no better than a Mayavadi. Therefore, one should not be a Mayavadi. Yet, one should not be unaware of the subject matter of Vedanta philosophy. Indeed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his knowledge of Vedanta in his discourses with Prakashananda Saraswati. That means it's not the main thing. The chanting is the main. Associating with Vaishnavas, right? Serving Krishna. These are the main things. But it's not that they don't know Vedanta philosophy. So we see what Lord Chaitanya, what he discussing with Prakashananda Saraswati, and then later with discussing with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Like that. Thus it is understood that a Vaishnava should be completely conversant with Vedanta philosophy, yet he should not think that studying Vedanta is all in all, and therefore be unattached to the chanting of the holy name. A devotee must know the importance of simultaneously understanding Vedanta philosophy and chanting the holy names. By studying Vedanta, one becomes an impersonalist. He has not been able to understand Vedanta. This is, and at the same time, you have to be careful that you don't not study Vedanta and just chant and end up like the Sahajiyas. Right? This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Vedanta means end of knowledge. The ultimate end of knowledge is knowledge of Krishna, who is identical with his holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued quoting his guru's instructions. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. In his Anubhasya, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami says that the actual effect that will be visible as soon as one achieves transcendental knowledge is that he will immediately become free from the clutches of Maya and fully engage in the service of the Lord. Unless one serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, one cannot be freed from fruitive activities under the external energy. However, when one chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one can realize a transcendental position that is completely aloof from the material conception of life. So here it's talking about you cannot become free from fruitive activities under the material energy. So here we can understand fruitive means you're doing something to get a material benefit. So it's obvious that the karma is performing their ritualistic activities, that's going to be fruitive. But at the same time, as we see, is because we're discussing the Mayavadis, that they're doing all their activities to become liberated for their own benefit. Right? And so it's technically still fruitive. It may be from the point of renunciation, but it's still under the control of the material energy. According to the Vedic principles, there are three stages of spiritual advancement, namely Sambandha Jnana, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha Jnana refers to establishing one's original relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Abhideya refers to acting according to that constitutional relationship. And Prayojana is the ultimate goal of life, which is to develop love of Godhead. Prema Pum Arto Mahan. One adheres to the regulative principles under the order of the spiritual master, he very easily achieves the ultimate goal of his life. So even we see the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, it will be also a progress. Because Sambandha Jnana, you're gaining the knowledge, you're becoming convinced, but being convinced, then you'll practice it. And practicing it, that will bring you to love of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as a grand fool, yet he maintained that all the words that he had heard from his spiritual master strictly followed the principles stated by Vyasa in Srimad Bhagavatam 176. So he's saying that he's a fool, but he's not in any way saying that his spiritual master doesn't know what he's talking about. Right? The material miseries of a living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyas compiled this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. End quote. One can overcome all misconceptions and entanglements in the material world by practicing Bhakti Yoga, And therefore, Vyas, acting on the instructions of Sri Narada, has very kindly introduced Srimad Bhagavatam to relieve the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. Interesting how, like when we're going through Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbha, he'll quote a verse and then he'll give his commentary in the next verse. Then he'll quote the next quotation. Then he'll give his instructions on that. But you'll see it'll be the different verses and that very formally done. Srila Prabhupada is doing the same thing, but it's just done in this prose form that it very nicely just flows through. The holy name and the Lord are identical. One is completely free from the clutches of Maya can understand this fact. This knowledge, which is achieved by the mercy of the spiritual master, places one on the supreme transcendental platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as a fool because prior to accepting the shelter of a spiritual master, he could not understand that simply by chanting one can be relieved from all material conditions. But as soon as he became a faithful servant of his spiritual master and followed his instructions, he very easily saw the path of liberation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra must be understood to be devoid of all offenses. Yes, so that's the point. Some bandhigyan that'll put you on this transcendental platform. Right? Then So that process then with time will give you the taste for the holy name. Right? And that will take you to love of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued quoting his guru's instructions. In this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. Srila Prabhupada. The principles of the Parampara system were strictly honored in previous ages. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga. But in the present age, Kali Yuga, people neglect the importance of the system of Shrauta Parampara, or receiving knowledge by disciplic succession. In this age, people are prepared to argue that they can understand that which is beyond their limited knowledge and perception through so-called scientific observations and experiments, not knowing that actual truth comes down to man from authorities. This argumentative attitude is against the Vedic principles, and it is very difficult for one who adopts it to understand that the holy name of Krishna is as good as Krishna himself. Since Krishna and his holy name are identical, the holy name is eternally pure and beyond material contamination. Right, so this argumentative attitude, the scientific attitude, this kind of thing is not useful in Krishna consciousness. That doesn't mean that one is blindly accepting things. It means that one submissively inquires and tries to understand what's going on. In other words, what's coming from authority, that's where the truth lies, not in our perception. Now, when we've heard from authority, and then by applying that, we can now perceive it, then that's proper. But to think that simply by starting with our perception, we're going to understand without the direction of the Acharya, then it will never work. So it's not a useful position. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's
on
the Shiksha. Yes. Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. After describing the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse, advising me to always keep it within my throat. Quote, for spiritual progress in this age of Kali, there is no alternative, there is no alternative, there is no alternative to the holy name. The holy name, the holy name of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. To chant the holy name of the Lord, one need not depend upon other paraphernalia. For one can immediately get all the desired results of linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It may therefore be questioned why there is a necessity for initiation or further spiritual activities and devotional service for one who engages in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The answer is that although it is correct that one who fully engages in chanting the holy name need not depend upon the processes of initiation, generally a devotee is addicted. to many abominable material habits due to material contamination from his previous life. In order to get quick relief from all these contaminations, it is required that one engage in the worship of the Lord in the temple. The worship of the deity in the temple is essential to reduce one's restlessness due to the contaminations of conditioned life. Thus, Narada, in his Pancharatriki Vitti, and other great sages, have sometimes stressed that since every conditioned soul has a bodily concept of life aimed at sense enjoyment, to restrict this sense enjoyment and rules and regulations for worshiping the deity in the temple are essential. It's just like, even if we're not directly engaged in the puja, you know, the worship of the Lord in that way, going on the altar, doing the mantras and tantras like that, but our life is regulated because of the deity worship, because of the Pancharatra. The time we're getting up, that we're going for Mangalartik, that then we're going to chant at that time, we're going to worship Tulsi, we're going to worship Nrisimhadev, we're going to worship the spiritual master, we're going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we're going to circumambulate the deities, take darshan, we're going to take Charinamrita. All these are regulated by the Pancharatric process. Otherwise, if it was up to us, if we could just sit in our house and we had no rules or anything, how much of that would we have done in a day? How much of that would we ever get all that all done in the day? Would we do that on a regular daily basis? You understand? So that's why the Pancharatric system is there. Because the conditioned soul, then they're not going to regulate themselves. The sense you'll regulate yourself according to sense gratification. Right? You know, it's just like at 9 o'clock, you drop something on the floor to eat, and an ant finds it. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, there will be ants there. And they will come for 2 weeks looking for that. At the same exact time. And after 2 weeks, they'll figure, okay, this is a dead end. And then, yeah. You understand? So, for sense gratification, we'll always regulate ourselves. Regulate, you know, so that we get the maximum amount. But for these things, we won't. That's why without Pancharatra, we won't advance nicely. Now, one can say, yes, technically it doesn't require, but then the point is for not requiring that, just that you've heard the holy name from the spiritual master, you're taking those instructions as your life and soul, and then you're fixed in the chanting process. Who's going to be doing that? Someone on the neophyte platform, the Madhyama platform, or the Uttama platform? The Uttama platform. So the Uttama platform is beyond conditioning. That's why it could work. So, yeah, yes, the holy name can function in that way. The problem is we can't. So it's not that the holy name has a problem. We have the problem. So we have the holy name and the support of the Pancharatra so that we won't... In other words, Bhagavat, you just stay on that Uttama platform. Pancharatra is there, so at least you don't fall down much past that Uttama platform. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And if you're below that, it elevates you up. Does that make sense? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Since I received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name. But I thought that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I had been bewildered. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself, and thus I laugh, cry, dance, and sing just like a madman. Collecting my patience, therefore, I began to consider that chanting the holy name of Krishna had covered all my spiritual knowledge." Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hints in this verse that to chant the holy name of Krishna, one does not need to speculate on the philosophical aspects of the science of God. For one automatically becomes ecstatic and without consideration, immediately chants, dances, laughs, cries, and sings just like a madman. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name, and I immediately submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master." Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as an ideal teacher, shows us how a disciple should deal with his spiritual master. Whenever there is doubt regarding any point, he should refer the matter to his spiritual master for clarification. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that while chanting and dancing, he had developed the kind of mad ecstasy that is possible only for a liberated soul. Yet, even in his liberated position, he referred everything to the spiritual master, whenever there were doubts. Thus, in any condition, even when liberated, we should never think ourselves independent of the spiritual master, but must refer to him as soon as there is some doubt regarding our progress in spiritual life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from his guru, "My dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Maha mantra. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh, and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. Quote, it is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna." Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, it is explained that one who chants the Hare Krishna mantra develops bhava, ecstasy, which is the point at which revelation begins. Right, so that's the real revelation. You know, so this whole thing of, oh, I had this revelation and we should do this and that, that's, yeah, no. This is, at bhava is when this starts. Krishna reveals things, of course, but to be able to actually appreciate Krishna's pastimes, the association, what goes on and all that, that happens at that stage. Right? Before that, we'll get, for us here, it'll be a great understanding. We'll move forward and we'll get a taste. But it's not that the pastimes themselves become revealed. Does that make sense? It is the preliminary stage in developing one's original love for God. Lord Krishna mentions this bhava stage in the Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Right? That's fun, right? Prabhupada say, this is Krishna's is mentioning this stage of bhava in this verse, right? Because you see everything connected to Krishna, so you're always absorbed in Krishna. A neophyte disciple begins by hearing and chanting, associating with devotees, and practicing the regulative principles, and thus he vanquishes all of his unwanted bad habits. In this way, he develops attachment for Krishna and cannot forget Krishna even for a moment. Bhava is the most successful stage of spiritual life. While chanting and dancing or hearing the holy name of the Lord, one automatically remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because there is no difference between the holy name and Krishna, the chanter is immediately linked with Krishna. Thus connected, a devotee develops his original attitude of service to the Lord. In this attitude of constantly serving Krishna, which is called bhava, he always thinks of Krishna in many different ways. So it's kind of constantly serving. Right? So that's one of the symptoms that there. One's always doing service, one never wastes time. Right? So if we're not acting like that, then other symptoms will be there about which platform we're at. Right? We're steady in our service, but it's not that we're always absorbed in Krishna. Right, but we're basically steady, then that'll have its name, or, you know, anartas are there, or we're taking up the process. You know, so there'll be things. But when it becomes that you're constantly always serving Krishna, right, then that will be seen at the platform of bhava. One who has attained this bhava stage is no longer under the clutches of the illusory energy. When other spiritual ingredients, such as trembling, perspiration, and tears, are added to this bhava stage, the devotee gradually attains love for Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, quoting his guru. Oh, it's just on, how you say, adding in trembling, perspiration, and tears. That, because we were discussing about the difference between the Santri and Vyabhichari. So the Vyabhichari is that moods that come up. But when they're combined with the other aspects of Anubhav, right? It means your the physical, you know, like this, the crying, what did Prabhupada just say here? Trembling, perspiration, tears, these are all the external symptoms, you know, the symptoms you can see. So that's called, I think, Udbhasva, right? So the combination of that with a Vyabhichari, that's called Sanchari. Yes? It would also be, because Anubhava, you can dance and this and that also, but it's more the mental state. It means, but you can see the different things.
The one which you told in the beginning, it's Vyabhichari, that is Sattvika Bhava, not the Vyabhichari. Vyabhichari is already the opposite
Yes, but when those that's added to the other, then you take some of the sanchari, then you get the taste from it. So that's why you can call it either sanchari bhavas, because it's going to be like that. But if you're being very specific, then you say vyabhichari, because it'll be another attitude that's coming into a present attitude. You know, that'll transitory, it'll come through. But when that's added with then the ecstatic symptoms, then that's called sanchari. You know, so one place Bhaktivinoda Thakura mentions that you can call all of this anubhava, because it's the result of one's attraction for Krishna. And so then that gives these particular, and so it may have the physical, the emotional, the opposing elements, the physical, all these different things may be there. So it can all be called anubhava. So if you're just talking about the sthayibhava, vibhava, anubhava, and that's all you mention, it means it already includes the other, the sattvika and the vyabhichari. Does that make sense? You know, just like when we're discussing the 24 elements. You know, it's just, if less are mentioned, it means these are already contained there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, quoting his guru, "Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation are known as the four goals of life. But before love of Godhead, the fifth and highest goal, these appear as insignificant as straw in the street. For a devotee who has actually developed bhava, the pleasure derived from dharma, artha, kama, and moksha appear like a drop in the presence of the sea. The conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. You are greatly fortunate to have already done so. It is characteristic of love of Godhead that by nature it induces transcendental symptoms in one's body, makes one more and more greedy to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. When one actually develops love of Godhead, he naturally sometimes cries, sometimes laughs, sometimes chants, and sometimes runs here and there, just like a madman." Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami says that sometimes persons who have no love of Godhead at all display ecstatic bodily symptoms. Artificially, they sometimes laugh, cry, and dance just like madmen, but this cannot help one progress in Krishna consciousness. Rather, such artificial agitation of the body is to be given up when one naturally develops the necessary bodily symptoms. Right, so, in other words, they're doing it as it's part of their process, or they're doing it, you know, what is it? Fake it till you make it, that kind of thing. So, but at the same time, there's also that aspect of respect, and everybody else will appreciate and think they're such a great devotee. But it's being pointed out here, it doesn't have any value in devotional practice. Right? You perform the practice, and if ecstatic symptoms are there, great. And if they're not, you continue to perform the practice. Because it's not about the ecstatic symptoms, it's about developing love for Krishna. It's about pleasing Krishna. Actually, blissful life, manifested in genuine spiritual laughing, crying, and dancing, is the symptom of real advancement in Krishna consciousness, which can be achieved by a person who always voluntarily engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. One who has not yet developed imitates such symptoms artificially. He creates chaos in the spiritual life of human society. So not only is that not useful for you, it's not useful for others. Right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, quoting his guru, "Perspiration, trembling, standing on end of one's bodily hairs, tears, faltering voice, fading complexion, madness, melancholy, patience, pride, joy, and humility. These are various natural symptoms of ecstatic love of Godhead, which causes a devotee to dance and float in an ocean of transcendental bliss while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra." Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Priti Sandarbha 66, explains the stage of love of Godhead. Bhagavad Priti Rupam Vritir Mayavadi Mai Na Bhavet Bhavati Kim Tarhi Sarupa Shatyananda Rupa Yad Ananda Para Dhina Sri Bhagavan Apiti. Similarly, in the 69th text, he offers further explanation. Tad Evam Priter Lakshanam Chita Dravas Tasya Cha Roma Harshadikam. Kantanchit Jadepi Chit Vrave Roma Har Shadike Vana Ched Asya Shudhis Tatapi Na Bhakte Samyag Avir Bhava Iti Gyapitam Asya Sutir Nama Chanya Tatparya Pari Tyaga Priti Tatparyam Cha Ata Evan Nimita Swabhaviki Cheti Tad Visheshanam. Okay, clear? Transcendental love of Godhead is not under the jurisdiction of the material energy, for it is the transcendental bliss and pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Supreme Lord is also under the influence of transcendental bliss, when one comes in touch with such bliss and love of Godhead, one's heart melts, and the symptoms of this are standing of the hairs on end, etc. Sometimes a person thus melts and manifests these transcendental symptoms, yet at the same time is not well behaved in his personal transactions. This indicates that he has not yet reached complete perfection in devotional life. In other words, a devotee who dances in ecstasy, but after dancing and crying appears to be attached to material affairs, has not yet reached the perfection of devotional service, which is called asaya shuti, or the perfection of existence. Right. It just means that the advancement will be there, and you might see these things, but at the same time these others. So it just means they're not on that platform yet that's perfect. Maybe you're advancing, but there's these other problems, right? And then if you just see that this is just as before, it's just a show, and then they're just attached to material things, then that's absolutely useless. One who attains the perfection of existence is completely averse to material enjoyment and engrossed in transcendental love of Godhead. It is therefore to be concluded that the ecstatic symptoms of Ashraya Shuddhi are visible when a devotee's service has no material cause and is purely spiritual in nature. These are characteristics of transcendental love of Godhead, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6. Savai pumsham paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje. Ahaitu kyapati hata yayatma supasidati. That religion is best that which causes its followers to become ecstatic in love of God, that is unmotivated and free from material impediments. For this alone can completely satisfy the self. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted his guru, "It is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing Sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nama, for by this process you will be able to deliver all fallen souls." Srila Prabhupada. "It is another ambition of the spiritual master to see his disciple not only chant, dance, and follow the regulative principles, but also preach the Sankirtan movement to others in order to deliver him. For the Krishna conscious movement is based on the principle that one should become perfect as possible in devotional service to oneself and also preach the cult for the other's benefit," right? Because that's the whole educational process. Is that you're hearing, removing doubts, then you're practicing, and then having practiced, then you're going to encourage others to become the same. That's the whole point. So the preaching means it's, that's what Prabhupada says, we're an educational institution. Right? So preaching is education. So you may have formal courses running, or you just go out and do programs wherever you can, because it's not necessarily that the university is going to let us come down on campus as a regular part of their course and be able to do a regular systematic study. So you go and do programs here and there, but it's part of education. So you go, you remove doubts, people take up the process, and then they start to help others do the same. There are two classes of unalloyed devotees, namely Gosyanandis and Bhajanandis. Bhajanandi refers to one who is satisfied to cultivate devotional service for himself. And Gostiyanandi is one who is not satisfied simply to become perfect himself, but wants to see others also take advantage of the holy name of the Lord and advance in spiritual life. The outstanding example is Prahlad Maharaj. When he was offered a benediction by Lord Nrisingadev, Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, I have no problems and want no benediction from you because I am quite satisfied to chant your holy name. This is sufficient for me because whenever I chant, I immediately merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. I only lament to see others bereft of your love. They are rotting in material activities for transient material pleasure and spoiling their lives toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification with no attachment for love of Godhead. I am simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya." Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.43. So one might, sometimes it may be taken that, okay, the Bhajanananda is sitting, he's, you know, enjoying that being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And the Gostiyananda, he just preaches and doesn't worry about his own practice. But we can see when Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj is the perfect example. He's practicing and he's enjoying that, and then he wants others to be able to taste that same thing. Right? So, a Gostiyanandi is a Bhajananandi who wants more than just his own bhajan. So the Gostiyanandi already includes the Bhajananandi. That's it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Saying this, my spiritual master taught me a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions, and therefore he recited this verse again and again. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders." Srila Prabhupada. This verse of Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.40 was spoken by Sri Narad Muni to Vyasadeva to teach him about Bhagavad Dharma. Vasudeva had already achieved the results of Bhagavad Dharma because Lord Krishna appeared in his house as a son. Yet in order to teach others, he desired to hear from Sri Narad Muni to be enlightened in the process of Bhagavad Dharma. This is the humbleness of a great devotee. So in other words, the whole point of the scriptures and all practices, all knowledge, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojanas come to the point of love of God. That's the actual point. If it's not bringing you in that direction, then it's not actually a great, it's not very efficient. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "I firmly believe in these words of my spiritual master, and therefore I always chant the holy name of the Lord alone and in the association of devotees. That holy name of Lord Krishna sometimes causes me to chant and dance, and therefore I chant and dance. Please do not think that I intentionally do it. I do it automatically." Srila Prabhupada. "A person who cannot keep his faith in the words of a spiritual master, but acts independently, never receives the authority to chant the holy name of the Lord. It is said in the Vedas, Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.23, only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. This Vedic injunction is very important, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu supported it by his personal behavior. Believing in the words of his spiritual master, he introduced the Samkirtan movement, just as the present Krishna consciousness movement was started with belief in the words of our spiritual master. We wanted to preach, we believed in his words, and tried somehow or another to fulfill them. And now this movement has become successful all over the world. Therefore, faith in the words of the spiritual master and in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the secret of success. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never disobeyed the orders of his spiritual master and stopped propagating the Samkirtan movement. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, at the time of his passing, ordered all his disciples to work conjointly to preach the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. But later, however, some self-interested, foolish disciples disobeyed his orders. Each one of them wanted to become head of the mission, and they fought in the courts, neglecting the order of the spiritual master, and the entire mission was defeated. We are not proud of this. However, the truth must be explained. We believed in the words of our spiritual master and started in a humble way. in a helpless way. But due to the spiritual force of the order of the supreme authority, this movement has become successful, right? So by the power, the spiritual force of the order of the supreme authority, right, which is coming from Guru and Krishna. So the Sankirtan mission, that is the process. So it's not that we think, oh no, you know, how you say, it looks, that socially it looks bad, and it really bothers me when I'm at the airport and people go, oh, you're Hare Krishna, and that, oh, what about this, what about that, all these different things like that. So it's so much embarrassing, so I don't want to go through that embarrassment. So therefore, why don't we kind of remove all these things and make it so we just present ourselves so that we just look really, you know, real, you know, wonderful and nice and everything. We're just nice guys and all that. And then, of course, everybody will just flock to, you know, practice our religion. But one is, where's the faith in the spiritual master? He didn't go, well, my spiritual, you know, you guys are my bodies and really established, you know, because they are the established, you know, kind of thing. Does that make sense? You know, in this kind of scene, they are the big authorities, the academic authorities, just like nowadays is the modern academy. Lord Chaitanya didn't backtrack on any of this. He didn't say, well, my spiritual master, this, that, you know, maybe, like, no. He just said, this is what is there. He's saying it very nicely, as we saw this morning in Nectar Devotion. Krishna knows perfectly how to say something nicely that people will appreciate it. Right? And so, one, he can convince others with his presentation. He'll deal really nice. He'll deal in all these things. And so it's a very wonderful method. But it's that faith in the order of the spiritual master. That's what will keep it going. So you see is that places that still like do Hari Nam and these kind of things like that, then the place grows. They get more people. People come along. They're enthusiastic. They, you know, like that. And places where they won't do this because, oh, it looks publicly very bad, those places are, you know, just slowly, slowly becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that it's the order of the spiritual master. It has the spiritual potency. You do it, it works. Everybody knew us before because we're the guys out on the street in the bed sheets chanting Hare Krishna. And, you know, that's what we do. It's cool. You know, so that's just, you know. And so people are okay with that. This idea is, no, we should just do what everybody else does. But what does everybody else do? You know what I'm saying? What is that? Because if you go door to door, everybody does something different. So which one of those different are you going to do? So therefore, why not, you know, how you say, be a mensch and just do your own thing, which is follow the order of the spiritual master. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. Because you can try anything else you want, and it won't work. Because it won't have the spiritual force of the order of the supreme authority. It's simple. You follow that, it will work. You know, because it's not based on logic and argument and all these things. It's not based on how everything else runs. It's based on Krishna's internal potency. So all facility is there. Does that make sense? So one has to have that. And if you have that faith, then all you'll understand what Guru and Krishna are saying. But if you don't have that faith, you won't. It's that simple. You just can't have that. Does that make sense? So we try some other kind of approach and all that. You know, take things off the internet. And, oh, what about this and what about that? You know what I'm saying? Yes. I mean, is it going to be going in the line, or you're going to be the devil advocate here?
You will correct me. I just want to understand.
But I just have to give a caveat here. In the morning, the qualities that Krishna had and how he can pleasantly say nicely and be kind, and even though he completely destroys her, he'll say he's sorry. We haven't developed those qualities yet. Just to let you know. It's not, we're not saying it's a good thing, we're just stating the fact.
I just want to know, example of community in Chaupati comes in my mind, and they were successful a lot because of preaching in the colleges. That was innovative.
Yeah, it's fine you go and preach in a college. We don't say that, but how do they go? Do they go in shorts and t-shirts? They go as devotees.
not so much Harinams on the street they perform.
Have you ever been on the streets in Bombay?
I understand. It's hard to go.
But it's that's not the thing. So the whole point is it's not there. But then what about, you know, London? What about, they go out, you know, on the weekends three times a day. You know, things are happening there. You know, in what is it, Colorado they go, other places they go. Before we went, there was, you know, back I think in the 70s, some big, I can't remember what she was, I think she was a big PR lady. She really knew, and she worked on very high levels. And some devotee, you know, who had contact with her, asked her, was there anything that we could do as a movement to improve our, you know, how people see us? Our image, yeah. And she said, yeah, one thing. Wear socks that match. You know, because the devotee go out with one orange one and one white one and stuff like that. You know, if you're going to go out, two orange ones or two white ones, you know. She didn't say, don't do Harinam, don't do book distribution, don't do all these things. She just said, you know, dress a little bit nicely that people can relate. So there's never been a time, and we were in, why were we in movies back in the 70s and 80s? Because, and what, in what context? We're on Harinam. Right? It's not that, you know, you're having this scene and then they cut over to, you know, Hare Krishna sitting in a room, you know, dressed in karmic clothes, having a meeting and discussing, you know, some kind of, you know, management plan. That will never happen. It's because they were out on the street. And because we weren't on the street anymore, they didn't know where we were. They started using actors to be the devotees. Because originally they just got devotees. Because they're always out on the street, so they'd ask them, hey, we're doing a shoot over here, can you guys come and do Harinam? And they'd go and do. So, this whole idea is that, on what basis would we want to try to establish that, oh, Harinam's not important? What would be the motive for even coming up with that question?
Atheism.
Atheism, okay. And what's your, you know, I mean, one point's been put forward as atheism, so what do you want to come up with some other?
It might seem that other approaches are more effective.
Effective for what?
Attracting people.
Attracting people, okay. Before, at one time, if you go back, you know, like to the 80s or something, there were 50 temples in America and 50 temples in India. Now there's more than 80 temples in India and there's less than 50 in America. How is that working out, your theory? Attracting people. Do people want to come because you have a sofa and you wear shorts and flip-flops? Is that why they come? Go to a yoga studio. What are they wearing? Yoga stuff. Right? You go to a martial arts thing, what are they wearing? Flip-flops and shorts and t-shirts? You go to a church, any denomination, what are they wearing? Anyone's in shorts and flip-flops? None. Maybe Venice Beach, but they're going there not because of the flip-flops, because of the girls and the bikinis they're wearing, or the lack of them.
You know?
Yeah, at the beach, that's what I'm saying. Venice Beach.
That's what I'm saying, and the beach.
Yeah, and the beach? What are you doing? Because we're hanging out on the beach. Yeah, okay, the beach, not the ocean, the beach. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. You understand? So, where is this coming from? They say, oh, it'll attract more, but what people? What it is that you're doing that is going to attract them? Okay, let's say we don't do Harinam. What is going to attract the people? Because you're not going to do book distribution either. And nobody's gotten it together to go to the stores and then get the books to sell the books.
They say like preaching to your colleagues and being a good example. And
preaching to your colleagues. Which colleagues?
Them to home programs like that, like they do in Muslim countries.
Okay, yes, but why does that work in Muslim countries?
Uh,
Why does it work in Muslim countries?
Because they're all Hindus.
Because they're Hindus, and so they can't go out and practice. So therefore, if you have something, then it works. Because you value it more. Yeah, okay. And so even if we're doing... Okay, so even we take that. Where are these dynamic home programs going on? Prabhupada gave a system for the what do you call it? The League of Devotees. Right? The League of Devotees, then, the system was, is you're having a program. You have 10 people that regularly come to your program. And at this program, you know, amazingly, we're having kirtan and discussing, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam and taking prasad. Right? Like that. Then, as they get trained and get fixed in it, each of those 10 people, they start having programs in their own home where they invite 10 people. Right? They'll come to your program, but then they will have another program themselves. So right now, you're preaching to 10, now you have 100. And with time, they grow up and mature, they start doing the same thing. Now you're preaching to 1,000. Right? Then after that, 10,000. That's in one city. And all those programs are going on, you know, however it is, during the week and all this. Like that. So you have your program, right? And then you're going to a program who you're and then the your people have. So you're going to 2 programs a week. Okay? And like that. Who's doing that? So then where is this dynamic you preach to your colleagues? Who's doing it? Give me a list of names.
Indians.
Yeah, maybe with the Indians. But then if you're going to say, well, with the Indians, then stop complaining that where are all the honkies? We actually have to remember that white men are a minority on the planet. You know what I'm saying? You know, the whole of Australia, it's like there's more people in Calcutta than there are in the whole of Australia. And that's literal. You know what I'm saying? There's only 20 million in Australia. That's it. And if you actually check, quite a few million of those are not white. So this whole thing is this nice talk. But where's the reality? Because they've been talking this now for at least the last 20, 25 years. So, according to this principle that Prabhupada is saying, they should be on the 100,000 at least people having programs on a weekly basis in their city. Right? And then you have all these cities, so that means, you know, 50 cities, then how many people is that?
5 million?
Yeah, that's millions. We have 600 temples. That would be hundreds of millions of people. So, therefore, we will say it is just talk. You have communities of, you know, 300, 500, 1,000 devotees around the temple that hardly come to the temple. Where are these programs? Are they going out and doing it? No. So it is only talk. And at least where I come from, there's a saying, talk is cheap. It means it doesn't cost anything. So therefore it has no value. Right? Chopati, they go out and have programs. Every night there's a program in the community. Weekend, the community comes to the temple. Weekdays, the temple goes out to the community. Right? And even you're saying, well, they do that. Who else is able to do that? Nobody. I mean, straight up front, nobody. Where is that happening? Bombay, Pune, Nasik, the other names. There's seven cities in that circle. And it's going on from there. Go to any other place, it's not happening.
Why?
Because unless you go out and do it, as we said, talk is cheap. Like whoever's told you these kind of things that you say, they, are they going and doing this? Any one of them. You know, so we'll go and we'll invite them to programs. So how often are you having these programs? How many of your colleagues are you inviting? So therefore, it sounds great, and because it sounds great, then we sit back and figure it's done. And according to Niti Shastra, that is a foolish position. Fools think that I've discussed it, it sounds like a great plan, so therefore it's done. And they don't do it. That's for fools. That makes sense? So, if you want to follow the order of Guru, then you're trying to do something like that. I just gave that one example. Or the Sunday program, or our prasad, our feasts and all that, or how we dress, or the Vaishnav etiquette, how we manage things. So you just that was just taking one. What about all the others? So when they do follow it, it works. So, yes, that you don't do because there's nothing else, because the government doesn't allow you. Like in Greece, you can't go out on Hari Nam. It's just not allowed. And so, yes, you do other things.
Yes, you can.
Huh?
You can now.
You can now. Okay. It's taken a while, but now they can. And are they going?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? They're going. And that was the place that it wasn't allowed. So at least by the preaching, it's purified the environment, and now they can go out. You understand? Because otherwise, you want to have doubts about Guru and Krishna. You can. But you will not understand the knowledge that's being given by Prabhupada and the Acharyas. It's that simple. It doesn't matter, you know, what degrees you have. You will not understand. It has nothing to do with mundane logic. We try to make it sound like it should, but that's just mundane stuff. You know, and we don't need that in our movement. We have enough of that outside the movement. They're called Jat Gosais, they're called Smartas, there's tons of names for them. We don't need them. You know, if that's the only thing, hey, they're all there. Go for it. But within our movement, we don't require it. Prabhupada gave instructions, we try to follow it. You use your intelligence, but you make it work. I don't see it working. Individuals that take it and do something, it happens. Does that make sense? So therefore, individuals have that faith, they do it, and they get the results. And others who sit around talking, oh no, but socially this, socially that, it won't look good, and it's all about our reputation. They have no reputation anyway. No one cares. One has to actually understand the common person on the street couldn't give a damn about the academics. Literally. They have no influence on their life. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is why base your opinion on people who socially are losers anyway? Because they won't come to your programs, and by following their advice, you'll end up like them where no one comes to your programs. Right? You have to understand it's only because the student has paid money and wants a degree that he goes to that guy's class. If it was free and he didn't need the degree to get a job, how many people would be at the university? Right? Who's that guy? David or something? Who was the guy? They found him on the roof of the yeshiva, practically freezing to death. David. He would be there. Because he just wanted knowledge. But these other guys just want a job. Why would they be there? So you have to understand this. What do they offer to society? Other than confusion. So we have to be very, very careful. And if we don't have this faith, then, yeah, you won't get. And you can sit around with your colleagues, pat each other on the back, tell each other how fabulous you are, and go on like that in illusion. But the reality is that, you know, there's direction. There's example. And so you do the best you can. You know, if you can't go out unharmed, you don't. You find something else. But they're saying, oh, but in Muslim countries, how many programs they have? It's very busy. These other places, they talk, they're not busy at all. It's like, not busy. You know what I'm saying? So it's an individual thing. The individual has that faith. They apply it, they get results. And so you see that. It's very individual. Right? Because it's a personal movement. God's a person, we're persons. That's how it works. You apply it, it works. You don't apply it, you come up with your own system, it won't work. Because it's God's system, not ours. We may think we're very smart. Great. Other people might even think we're smart. The gold standard is, does God think you're smart? Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. And smart is surrendering to Krishna. Does that make sense? Just being doubtful doesn't mean that you have knowledge or you have conviction. Or you have a direction in life, or you have a value in life. Finding faults, anybody can do. Literally. Right? Go down to the pub. They find faults in everybody. The taxi drivers, you talk to them, they can tell you faults about everything. You know? Does that make sense? You know, just the neighbors as they're talking, it's always about somebody else's wrong. Not having faith in authority and finding fault and then calling that critical thinking, that's cheating. And then you get a degree for that? If that's the way it goes, what about honorary degrees? You know, all those yentalists sitting around in rocking chairs, they should all be like, you know, PhDs. Does that make sense? Or does babushkas work better for you?
Sorry?
Does babushkas work better for you?
Babushka.
No? Yentala works fine?
Thank you.
Okay. Yes?
I want to say about this point about preaching in the university. According to my experience, I preached during 20 years in the universities and only 3 or 4 students became devoted, but direct preaching had now more efficient.
You heard what she said? Means she's a professor, works at the university, does lectures, does all that thing. She writes books, you know, all these kind of jazz. She tries that, preaching at the university, amongst the, as you said, colleagues. Mm-hmm. She said in 20 years, maybe 3 people are interested. Go out on Harinam, book distribution, do the programs, do the festivals. Much more efficient. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that is direct, what do you call it?
Evidence.
Evidence. all these other people is just talk.
Right.
Yes.
Also in India, the main inspiration for this boy and all is book distribution and Rath Yatra, even in India, those educated there. It's not that it's a lecture.
That makes sense. And he's talking about all the professionals that ISKCON would love to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
And they're attracted by just the traditional practices of Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
People like it when you have conviction and you do what you do. You know what I'm saying? Like that. The people have, and they appreciate that, because they would like to have some, because they don't, they're just wandering around like a boat without a rudder. And so if someone has conviction, then they think, okay, well, what's going on here? And how do you know they have conviction? You tell by external symptoms, right? Because they're not so great at reading, you know, by rasa and all that kind of stuff. So how do they go? Here's people in bed sheets, right? Everybody else is not wearing bed sheets. These guys are wearing bed sheets. So what's going on here? And not only that, they're happy. So they're happy and in bed sheets. So is it the bed sheets? You know, is it the color of the bed sheets? You know, can you just wear any color? You know, like that. And so then they want to know what's going on. You know, it's totally overrated that you do like the karmis do and you'll attract the karmis to Krishna consciousness. No. How does that match? It's like saying, if I go out and eat at fast food places, I'll attract people to come to my place and learn gourmet cooking. It makes as much sense as that. And we also have the point that Prabhupada said, we're selling diamonds. How many people come into the diamond shop? Right? Where are the diamonds? Right? But the stuff on the schlock on the street, then everybody's coming by and picking up. Does that make sense? So you have to have this faith. Otherwise, you know, if you don't have the faith, what is it getting anybody? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. People are looking for conviction, something, you know, something in their life. And so just blending in with everybody else, since when is that, you know, since when is that a mission? You know, even just let's take it like this. Just because a lot of times that people like to show, well, the Christians, you know, they're big. Did the Christians, when they first started, did they try to blend in? Not at all. You know, they ended up as, you know, being eaten by lions, put in sacks, dipped in tar and hung up for lamps or, you know, this and that. And
so maybe that's why they're doing the revenge.
Yeah, but those are the Romans and they're trying to follow them, and they're also, no, okay, excuse me, that's Greek. Okay, the pantheon is Greek. You understand? So they're out there. That's how they spread. In 400 years, then there was the Holy Roman Empire. Not by blending in. Blending in, what has that gotten anybody? People want to be unique. They want to be different. They want something out of the ordinary. Nobody notices that? Nobody notices that? So then, where do these philosophies come from?
Ignorance,
attachment, false ego. Right? Somebody says, oh, you guys this, so explain why we do this. But that means you have to know the culture. And that means you have to value the culture to know it and practice it. But because, no, as soon as someone says, oh, that's weird, then, oh, yeah, it's weird, we shouldn't do that. You know? Prabhupada tells a story. Right? There's a father and a son. And they have a donkey. Right? You know the story? Okay. Everyone knows the story? So, the point of the story is that you can't satisfy anybody.
What's that?
Oh, that's it. Looks like it's an early June bug. Yeah.
But it's not June.
June.
Yeah, well, in June they're big, so. Yeah, these guys are not very good at.
I tried to back them, but they came back.
Yeah, because they're not so small. You have to go to the place to get, you know, where they can get up. See, if they're in grass or something, they can straighten that as a.
Yeah, they're not so smart, these guys. Does that make sense? You know, so it's not that we. See, that the idea that. That they're looking for something, and because Prabhupada, you see before, says that Lord Chaitanya and that they use their intelligence and his associates how to find novel ways to catch people and interest them in Krishna consciousness, so that they're looking for something, that's good. But don't look for something at the expense of what's already there. Find unique ways of bringing that out. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say, as far as a general atheistic culture goes, you could probably say, you know, France is kind of on the top of the list there. Okay? But when they'd go out on Hari Nams, they would go out, everyone would dress nicely, then they'd also dress people up as you know, Gorni Thai or Radha and Krishna, you know, or different things. You go out with all the flags, the festoons, you know, really nice kirtans, really organize it nicely so everyone would move down the street in a nice pattern. And, you know, they would attract a lot of attention. Well, at least you'd be able to get up. Oh, it's probably the lights.
We tried.
You understand? Yeah. I think these guys fit in the category of the engineers would say it's impossible for them to fly. Because as soon as they stop flapping their wings, they just drop like a rock, these guys.
The wings are too small, they're too big, too fat.
Yeah, no, they're just so fat. You see, and they go like this, you know, it's not like the bugs, they go off quickly, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that part's good. But you have to know is that you can't do it at the expense of faith, expense of the spiritual master. And say it's you know, he's saying you're dancing with all these fanatics. Then does the Lord Chaitanya says, oh, now everybody should fit in? No, he explains why we're dancing like with a bunch of fanatics. You know, you can say, well, we're fanatics. Why, they're not fanatics? You know, it's about sense gratification and this. They're not fanatic about that. People aren't fanatics about their phones. Right? You know what I'm saying? What if you get into the kind of more the political cartoons and all that, what do they think about people on their smartphones?
Dull and stupid.
Yeah, just like sheep. Mm-hmm. You know, at least sheep, you can shave them and get some, you know, wool out of it.
These guys, you can strip them of their all, from all their money.
Yeah. Just leave them the phone. Mm. Yeah. Main thing is leave them the phone. It's just not there. You know, you always see them that they're all there. Looking dark, you know, hunched over with their phone, just walking in droves, just looking at their phone. Like that. Or even if it's before the phone, they're just all going around the rat race. You know, it's standard stuff. And they've been saying this for a long time. You know, it's not just the last couple of years. You know, the last, you know, 50, 100 years. So we have to understand is that people are looking, that's great. But then do something with that. not at the expense of the other. Make it nice. Just like this. Are people interested in a cultural experience? Do they go to operas? Do they go to, let's say, the Scottish marching band has come? They'll go and pay, they'll pay money to go see it. Are they Scottish? You know, do they play drums? You know. You understand? It's cultural. You know, the Japanese come and do something. You know, somebody else comes from another place of the world and does something. You know, the Peruvians come and play on their panpipes. You know, they go and watch. But somehow or another, we're thinking, oh, if we show culture, then that's bad, and, you know, they'll don't like us. What planet is that thinking from? Right? Take nice Persian rug. Put it down on the floor. You ever seen those pillows like in those Sharma paintings about Radha and Krishna? Mm-hmm. Big monster, like, you know, huge round pillows. Stick some of those down with some nice silk, you know, tassels and all that. Some nice pictures, you know, nice pictures of you know, our painting, our art and that on the walls. Some nice plants, do nice curtains, put in some nice good incense like that. Have some nice drinks, some nice prasad. Invite people in, sit them down there. They won't be impressed. They'll only want to become a devotee if they can come in and sit on a couch, right? And then you're just going to be like them. So what's the specialty of sitting on your couch? They already got a couch. So anybody will set up a room like that to invite people into?
No.
They'll think, oh, we bought a couch. And how long ago was that couch bought? 10 years? Most people would have already put it out on the sidewalk after 4 or 5, maybe 6. You know what I'm saying? So why is it that we're thinking this is what's going to impress? Is that why all the devotees who are saying that, is that why they joined Krishna consciousness? Or they joined in the day when we were fanatics and that's why they joined? So it's a double standard. They didn't join because everything blended in. They joined because we stood out like a sore thumb. And they want to know what's going on here. Well, what are you guys doing? What's your guys' trip? And then devotees then with conviction would tell them. Yes?
Recently, before I probably said in UK that in the past we used to be bored and straight preaching to people. And now we want to be just nice guys.
Yeah. Somehow or another, it's like, you know, I mean, it's all right if you come. See, there's an area, I'm not sure who they are. What religion are these? Samaritans?
They have their own.
They're all, huh?
Christians.
They may be now, but before they weren't.
They're almost extinct.
Yeah, they were just a group that lived around there. So. You know, we're striving to become Samaritans or what? What is it? You know, Vaishnavas are always nice and kind and compassionate. But this whole thing of, oh, you know, we just kind of help them, bring to them to goodness. But you have to be in goodness to be able to do that. And what's the lifestyle in goodness? Knowledge, you know, cleanliness. Does that make sense? Following religious duties. So unless you're living a lifestyle of goodness, then why are you talking about, well, we'll just bring them to goodness and, well, that's what we'll do for this life. Okay, great. But those people that can give them directly Krishna consciousness, why would you get in the way of that? Why would you say, well, that's not good, oh, we don't want to do that? And being a nice guy, are you a nice guy to everybody? Okay, you're nice to the karmis. Are you nice to the devotees? Of his own house. Okay. So it's just Maya's trick for other deviation. If that's all the better you can do, that's fine. It's recommended in the Gita. But where is it recommended in the Gita? First is just surrender to Krishna, like the gopis did, Maharaj Katvanga and all that. If you can't do that, then follow the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. So you'd be very strict and all those kinds of things like that. If you can't do that, then you follow that would be nishkam karma yoga. If you can't do that, then sakam karma yoga. You know, okay, you have your desires, follow them, engage them in Krishna's service. Like that. And that way then do everything for Krishna. If you can't do that, now be a nice guy. Open hospitals, this and that. But are these nice guys spending a lot of money on other people? I kind of doubt it. You know, generally you see is that you get the least donations in the communities where they're all nice guys. Huh? They don't have money, but if you go into communities that are poor, they'll give you more money. You know what I'm saying? So then you're supposed to be opening and doing all this philanthropic and altruistic work. That way, that's a good guy. You know? Does that make sense? And if you can't do that, then you can be an impersonalist and, you know, very renounced, very like that. You know, the Mayavadi, you know, sitting there in Varanasi, studying his Sanskrit, taking bath 3 times a day in the Ganga, you know, doing all that. That's the order. So then, taking that fourth position and then complaining about the other three and saying they're fanatic, that's just pure, unalloyed nonsense. Straight up front nonsense. All they're doing is exposing their own attachments and then trying to push their attachments on everybody else. Point is if that's where you're at, be humble and this is the best I can do. Be happy with that. But they want the prestige of the topmost devotee by working at the fourth stage, which is below devotional platform. And they want to be recognized. And then said they're big and they're given the respect and everything like that. Be humble. Just take whatever position you're in. That's the whole point. Because even those we see, Lord Chaitanya and all that, he's the Supreme Lord, he's taking the humble position. That's just how we do things. But this pride that comes up from it, from having some academic, you know, competence, or, you know, having these ideas, working in modern management and things like this, and then the pride that comes up from it, what does it have to do with devotional service? You know, and then it becomes an identity, and then how is that going to get you back to Godhead? Right? It's not efficient. You know, just like the Sahajiyas, their deviation where they're faking all these symptoms like that, it's not efficient. It's not going to further devotional service. The same thing as faking being some kind of modern corporate or nice guy. It's not going to work. Nice guys are nice guys all the time. They care for everybody. But the modern nice guy cares for people that agrees with their view on things, and if you don't, they don't care. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, in accordance with what Rupa Goswami pointed out this morning, we apologize. We have been overly strong on these points, but we just want to make it clear so that we're confident in this point of just having that. Is that, you know, having that faith in Krishna and the spiritual master, that's going to work. It says, only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports, not just some or occasional or one or two, all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. They don't need a degree. This Vedic injunction is very important. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu supported by personal behavior. So, because we want that, we have to be very careful that all these other kind of deviations, they're not useful. Because they won't get you this. So, we're good? So we won't bring this up anymore? Okay, thank you. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura ki.